Part 1. The Chiroptera. Chapter 1. Fraternity in Shadow. The brothers always met in darkness. Their penchant for convening in a lightless chamber wasn't for the theatrics of symbolism, nor from a need for secrecy. Some traditions simply existed unchanged from their genesis, born of habit rather than artifice. Once the darkness had mattered. Now, it simply was. Red eye lenses cut through the gloom, accompanied by the grinding purrs of joint servos and active power cables. Mark IV armor wasn't a silent invention by any means. It was even louder when it was damaged. The three brothers stood in silence. Defeat cloaked their shoulders, clinging closer than the shadows in which they stood. Their shame was fresh enough that none of them had even repaired the damage to their armor. Occasional sparks from ruptured joints cast flares of light across the chamber, while the air slowly ripened with the scent of battle emanating from their broken suits of ceramite. The chemical stench of physoline clashed with the crude tang of promethium. Behind it all was the grey scent of gunsmoke, insipidly close to charcoal. "Three of us," said one of the brothers. "Three of us survived." "There may yet be more," said another. The first scoffed at the notion. "There won't be any more. Have you been blind for the last 9 hours? Did you not see what just happened? How many ships did we lose?" The third brother leaned on the edge of the central table, his crested helm tilting to regard his kindred in turn. "We cannot know. Not until the fleet masses again. I saw the Praxis Mundi break apart and take out 7 of her escorts. The Lady Sapienta died before her. The Aeternum Dread, the Throneless King, the Obfuscate. Those are merely the cruisers I saw die. I cannot speak of how many frigates and destroyers, too many to name." "What of the Nightfall?" The third brother shook his head. "A flame within and breached without. The flagship cannot have escaped. The Dark Angels went for her throat as viciously as the lion went for Lord Kurz's." He paused for a moment, taking a slow breath. "The Nightfall should have been the first ship to run. I can't comprehend why she stayed. What profit was there in trading firepower with the Dark Angels' fleet?"
"I heard the Vox reports," said the first brother. "Sevatar ordered the flagship to remain in system while he recovered companies from the surface whose vessels had already fled."
The third snorted.
"How very noble. So he killed himself and lost the flagship. Mark my words, no longer will the name Sevatar be celebrated among our ranks. How did the angels arrange this? The ambush, the coordination was beyond anything I've seen."
"Does that even matter?"
the first replied.
"Unless we strike back with overwhelming force, we've just lost the Thramos Crusade."
"The Legion must regroup at the fallback junctures,"
agreed the second. "We can recommence hostilities once we have our bearings and the logistics are codified."
"Aye," said the first. "There speaks wisdom.
It might be weeks, it might be months, but we are far from finished."
The third brother called up a tactical display, but the flickering hololithic image stuttered and died before showing anything of worth. The ship had taken severe damage in its flight. Many of its systems were still struggling to realign.
"We face 2 problems, both bladed, both unkind. First, we must disseminate word of the defeat to all Legion forces in the rest of the sector via our astropathic choirs, so our brothers don't run headlong into the ambush site we just fled. That will require a wealth of good fortune to work."
"And the other problem?"
The third brother hesitated before answering.
"We must do that which only one Legion has ever had to do. We must choose who commands the remaining forces with our Primarch fallen."
"Fallen doesn't mean dead, brother. Have you received word from the Apothecarian?"
"I have, and it doesn't bode well. Who among the Legion has ever treated a wounded Primarch before? We're working blind. The wounds have closed, though not cleanly. Blood loss is severe. Cranial damage and oxygen starvation are still both potentially terminal or crippling. Hemorrhaging is rampant. Organs I cannot even name are lacerated and severed from vein networks we've never seen before.
If he were human, if he were even one of us, a single one of his wounds would be enough to see him dead. He sustained 11 such lethalities.
The proclamation hung in the air. None of the brothers wished to add to it.
I saw it happen, admitted the second. Even recovering him cost us too many lives. I surrendered most of a company in forcing the Lord of the First Legion back. I regret giving that order, I assure you.
The others nodded.
The truth is cold, but we must face it. The three of us lead the Legion now.
They tasted that truth in a moment of silence, interrupted by the communication feed from the command deck opening in a storm of crackles.
My lords, said the human captain, another 4 vessels have reached the edge of the system.
Name them, said the first brother.
Auspex coding registers them as the Quintus, Dusk's Daughter, the Covenant of Blood, and the Nightfall.
The war room's bulkhead door opened on grinding tracks, admitting the emergency red lighting of the corridor beyond. The figure in the doorway wore a helm to match his 3 kindred, with its crest of backswept gargoyle wings and skull-painted faceplate. Tourmaline eye lenses stared at the 3 warlords gathered in the dark. He'd come alone, but he'd come armed. A spear rested on his shoulder guard, ending in a deactivated chain blade with several rows of jagged, chipped teeth.
I hope you'll forgive me for being late. There was an ambush, you may have noticed it. Not all of us could just light up our engines and run for the deepest black.
He walked into the chamber, taking a place at the central table.
It is good to see you, Sevatar.
I'm sure it is.
Sevatar glanced at the tactical hololith drifting in the air above the table, showing a spread of several 8th Legion vessels in the deep void.
So, this is defeat. Now we know how the Raven Guard and Salamanders felt.
We've mustered close to 1/20th of the fleet's strength here. We must reform as best we are able in the weeks that follow and face the facts. We are wounded, but not dead. The Thramis Crusade cannot end here.
Sevatar said nothing at first. After several moments, during which he realized they weren't making some foolish jest, he looked at them in turn.
The 3 of you did well to evacuate the Primarch. Have you had any contact with the rest of the Chiroptera?
Only to confirm deaths of Jexad, Shoma, and Ithilien, the second brother replied. We are all that remains of the Chiroptera now.
So, 3 of the 7 are dead,
Sevatar mused aloud.
And the Primarch is wounded.
The Primarch is dying,
corrected the second brother. We lead the Legion now.
We'll see. Either way, the future is grim.
Sevatar dropped his halberd onto the table, ignoring the resonant clang of metal on metal.
This won't do at all. Of the 7, you 3 are the ones I like least.
Please, be serious, brother.
Sevatar had a certain way of smiling. Amusement brightened his black eyes first, before tugging at the corners of his lips in soft twitches. It was the smile of a corpse with hooks pulling at its cheeks, or a soul that didn't really understand humour in the same way as those around him. Thus, he had to feign it to the best of his limited ability. Sevatar smiled.
Am I to assume you brave creatures have devised a plan?
We have, replied the first brother. Once the fleet's strength is rebuilt, we will strike back. The question is where?
Sevatar tilted his head.
That's your plan?
It is.
The first captain cleared his throat. This moment required a degree of subtlety.
Already, he said, you are trying to take us down a path we shouldn't walk. You speak of retribution, of counter-attacking a foe that has proven they can outmaneuver us.
The others hesitated.
Well, of course. What else would we do?
We could fight a war we actually have a chance to win instead, Sevatar replied.
Run? Asked another. We have a duty to keep the First Legion engaged here.
Sevatar raised an eyebrow, though the expression remained hidden behind his faceplate.
At the cost of the Legion? You wish to whore our lives away to slake your frustrated bloodlust at being beaten. There is nothing noble in that, brothers. I won't let you take the Legion to the grave because you can't admit we lost.
The Primarch would wish us to fight this battle to the end.
Well, he would indeed. But you said the Primarch is dying. If so, his wishes mean nothing at all.
The Dark Angels are our equals, not our betters, one of the brothers stressed. We can win the Crusade with the right counterattack.
So you say, Malathus,
Sevatar replied with the same mild, unpleasant smile.
It sounds to me as though you'd cripple us all in a bid to soothe the Legion's bruised ego.
Malathus, captain of the Ninth Company, growled through his crested helm's vox-grill.
If Lord Kurz dies, your reign as his precious favourite ends this very night.
Sevatar was still smiling. They could hear it in his voice.
Don't threaten me, Ninth Captain. It will not end well for you.
Brothers, be at peace, said the second of them. Sevatar, you are right. We must beware of wounded pride forcing us into foolish action. And Malathus, you are right. We have to strike back for duty and pleasure in equal measure. But we must not be at odds. The moment is too grave.
I appreciate your conciliatory efforts, Var Jahan.
Sevatar's voice was calm, devoid of the usual baiting edge.
But the Lion's forces just broke the Legion's back in a single strike. The entire fleet is scattered. We lost dozens of ships, both our own and those of the humans that follow us. The last I saw of the Legio Ulricon's flagship was its wreckage, spilling into the void after the kiss of Dark Angel's guns. How many Titans died in that wreck alone? How many tens of thousands of trained crew?
We will regroup, said Malathus. It is our duty. The war hasn't ended just because you've become craven.
Craven? Sevatar replied. A strange word to use when describing the one who remained behind to help the slower ships evacuate.
But duty demands we fight,
said Var Jahan, captain of the 27th.
Death is nothing compared to vindication.
Sevatar grinned at that.
Such pretty words. I wonder if they'll echo into eternity as wisdom or foolishness. Whichever fate decides, you will not have me at your side. Some of my sub-captains already speak of sailing to Terra or rejoining the War Master's fleet. Others wish to break apart to venture elsewhere, harrying Imperial supply lines. I am inclined to grant them their request, rather than send them to die with you.
The Chiroptera will vote, said Malathus.
Sevatar gave a sneering snort.
Voting? How very democratic. Since when have we needed to vote on anything?
Since you returned to us,
said the last brother, Kel Herrick, captain of the 43rd.
And the Chiroptera ceased to speak with one voice. United we stand, Sevatar. Divided, we fall.
Oh, so many pretty words tonight. Yet they all miss the point. The Legion is better suited to the shadows until we are ready to strike in force. Then we butcher. Then we taste their blood. The Angels just taught us a stern lesson in the foolishness of gathering together in one place and trying to engage in a fair fight.
Sevatar leaned on a support pillar, crossing his arms over his chest plate as he continued.
I'll be absolutely clear, since you are all so reluctant to take the hint. I will not let you take the Legion back into this war after such a crippling defeat. That's all there is to it. I will take the Atramentar, along with any other companies that choose to stand with me, and rejoin the War Master's fleet. There is nothing more we can do here. And I say that delaying the Dark Angels for almost 3 years is more than long enough. I'm finished with the Thramas Crusade. I am taking my companies to Terra. I plan to see the real war before the final day dawns. The rest of the Legion should come with me. I may lose my temper if you try to keep fighting this meaningless war.
Malithos looked at his brother in raw disbelief for a moment.
Are you mad, Sevatar?
I don't think so. I feel fine.
How would you stop us from staying? Asked Var Jahan.
I'd kill you, of course. But let's hope it doesn't come to that. Emotions are running high, and my spear is all the way over there.
He gestured to where it lay on the table.
Brother, if you're finished acting the fool, may we focus on the matters at hand?
Focus on them all you like. I'm going to see the Primarch with my own eyes, rather than rely on your prattling about his demise.
Sevatar moved away from the pillar, heading for the sealed bulkhead.
Your spear, Sevatar!
I will be back for it soon enough. Enjoy your discussion, brothers.
He walked from the chamber, his silhouette filling the entryway for a moment before he turned the corner. The door rumbled closed. Malithos shook his head.
I grow weary of him, he said to the others.
Many of us do, Kel Herrick replied.
When we rebuild the Chiroptera, we would be better served if Sevatar found himself unable to rejoin.
Malithos sneered, as only he could do.
Why the spineless turn of phrase?
Just say the truth. I'll kill him myself when the time comes.
Var Jahan scarcely listened to their words. His attention lingered on Sevatar's spear, resting on the table. The blade was a monstrous glaive, the haft a solid length of black iron and ridged ceramite, the rear butted by a brutal spike with a crystalline power generator above. Every warrior within the 18 legions knew of that blade. What far fewer knew was the nature of the haft's secondary generator. Having fought at Sevatar's side many times, Var Jahan knew its purpose very well indeed. Ultimately, Var Jahan trusted none of his brothers, least of all those in the Chiroptera. When his teeth began to itch with the onset of displacing air pressure, he was the only one of the three captains not surprised. He was also the only one running for the door.
The assassins appeared in a storm of white noise and etheric mist, as the captains recoiled, raising futile hands to ward off the blinding light. All three knew just what that thunder heralded. Malithos and Kel Herrick reached for their weapons, which was why they died. Var Jahan never stopped running.
The Atromentar manifested across the chamber, wreathed in the greasy aftersmoke of teleportation flare, their bolters already raised.
We have come for you,
the first of the Terminators growled, before their guns opened up in a unified cascade. Var Jahan heard his brothers die, heard their cries and gurgles across the vox, over the pounding of his boots and both hearts. Bolts took him high in the back and low in the left leg, sending him into a stumble, falling down onto a deck being riven by detonating shells. He rolled across the decking, never ceasing, and threw himself through the automated bulkhead. In the corridor beyond, 27th Captain Var Jahan lay panting on the decking. He looked up at Sevatar. The first captain stood with his back to the wall, arms crossed over his breastplate, looking down in idle curiosity.
Hello, Captain, said Sevatar.
Var Jahan was rising when the doors opened again, releasing gun smoke into the corridor. A squad of Atramentar Terminators stood in their hulking warplate, immense bolters aimed at the prey that had fled them.
Stand down,
Sevatar said, and offered a hand to help his brother up.
This one was intelligent enough to sense my intent. He gets to live.
Var Jahan almost spat.
Most generous of you.
Sevatar chuckled before replying,
I thought so too.
Why did you kill them?
Var Jahan moved so his back wasn't facing the Atramentar.
Why did you want us dead? Fratricide, brother? Has it really come to this?
We came to this the moment you three fools decided it was best to kill the Legion simply to expunge some imaginary stain on our imaginary honour.
But the preparation...
I had a feeling the Chiroptera would need reorganising. I was right.
You killed them because they disagreed with you. Sevatar, you are insane!
The first captain gave a subtle shrug.
So I am often told. What matters is that the Legion needs the Chiroptera now more than ever, and we will not lead our brethren back onto the Dark Angel's blades.
But the War Master...
Sevatar's hand was at his throat before the sentence could end. The first captain lifted him, slamming him back against the wall.
Do I look like I care what the War Master wants of me?
Sevatar's skullish faceplate stared with its red eyelenses.
We never cared what the Emperor wanted of us. Why should we waste our lives out here in the back end of the galaxy dancing to the War Master's tune?
He released Var Jahan, walking back into the chamber.
He has leashed us for 3 years. I am done with obedience. To the abyss with Horus and his arrogant whims. He's no better than the Emperor.
Var Jahan followed his brother. He had to step over Kel Herrick's smoking corpse, sparing it barely a glance. Malathos had died in similar indignity. The ninth captain's body was half-draped across the central table, blood pooling across the surface in a spreading lake.
True independence, then. Our allies in the other legions are simply alliances of convenience.
Better that than living shackled to a sickened, dying Imperium.
Sevatar's voice was softer now, more distant.
Var Jahan, forgive my display of anger.
He recovered his spear and rested it on his shoulder guard.
I am going to see our father.
As the footsteps faded, Var Jahan looked to the towering forms of the Night Lord's Terminators. They offered no hint of their emotions or thoughts, staring impassively through the scarlet eye lenses of their brutish war helms.
I know you all, Var Jahan said to them. By name and reputation, even if I've not served with all of you. Thorian, Malek, Jakresh.
He listed their names one by one, nodding to them each in turn.
What did Sevatar offer you to make such loyal warriors? What is it he holds over you that makes you serve him even through the spilled blood of our legion kin?
Thorian, commander of the Atramentar, shook his head as coils of teleportation mist started forming around their dark armor.
He gives us the truth.
Their departure was as sudden and loud as their arrival, leaving Var Jahan alone with the bodies of his brothers.